Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ziprecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same Game Parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets, like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Welcome to the Tool Shed, a podcast covering all levels of professional baseball to help give you the edge in your dynasty leagues. From the MLB draft all the way to the show, the Tool Shed podcast has you covered with rankings, player analysis, and in-depth discussion. And now, here's your host, Eric Cross.
Welcome into another episode of the Tool Shed podcast brought to you by RotoBaller. This is episode 402. Thank you for joining me. I'm your host, Eric Cross. You can find me on Twitter at EricCrossMLB, and the show is at Tool Shed Pod. Got a phenomenal guest with me in the Tool Shed this week. He is a host and analyst for Fantasy Pros and Betting Pros and co-owner of the In This League podcast and the Prospect One podcast. The one, the only, Mr. Chris Welsh at Is It The Welsh on Twitter. Chris, how you doing, bud?
Cross, what is up, brother? What is up, man? Draft time, it's all craziness. You and I are going to be showing it together here in just a tiny bit. And I know you and I have been just, you know, neck deep into MLB draft stuff. So I'm actually glad to talk about it in this kind of realm, because I've been talking about it in, like, you know, serious analysts, like, what is your thought? It'll just be good for, like, you and I to be able to bounce some stuff off of each other.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, just kind of hash it up and talk about this interesting draft class. But yeah, it feels like there's a couple times every year, like around AFL time and around draft time, where, you know, we always go into this pod throughout the year, but there's always like that one cluster where it's like we'll be doing, like, you know, between, like, you know, my show, your show, you know, Road to Wire with James Anderson. It's like we'll be on the same thing like 3 times in a week or something like that. So it's always a fun time of year, though. Draft time is always exciting, and this class is definitely interesting. But before we get into all of the draft talk here, I'll get the usual housekeeping out of the way. If you enjoy the pod, please rate and review. You can find all of my content either on RotoBaller or on my Patreon, toolshedfantasy.com. And make sure you check out all of the great content over on RotoBaller with RotoBaller's MLB Premium Pass. Gain access to expert tools and advice from proven winners, import your leagues with TeamSync, and get expert advice customized for your league-specific settings. Win more with RotoBaller's lineup assistant tools, free agent finder, prop picks, and the number one DFS lineup optimizer. Our premium pass comes with a 100% money-back guarantee. Go to rotoballer.com/radio and use the discount code TOOLSHED at checkout. All right. Welsh, let's just kind of talk about before we get into all the players and our initial rankings and all this and that. What were your thoughts on just this 2025 draft class in general? Like, you know, going into FYPDs, I know it's still, you know, most FYPDs don't start for a few months in the off season, but okay, what would your thoughts be on this class? And just like, how would you be approaching it? Would you be looking to, you know, trade up, trade down? What are your thoughts on that?
So I think from like a baseball perspective, I think the draft kind of just tipped its hand. We all knew it was like kind of weak on the college hitting side, strong on the college pitching side, and it just had a lot of good high school shortstops. But then, like, we had like a record setting. I think it was 14 shortstops taken in the first round, if you count just the 27 picks as the first round. And I think you just had a lot of teams that didn't see the value in the college hitting. I think a lot were presuming you could probably get some deals across the board on these shortstops, and they just went high upside. I mean, it was like a fantasy draft. We don't see that, you know, like there's always those couple guys that go proximity, and then there's just people going for like the big value. That's like what the real draft was. So if you're asking like an overall kind of approach to, you know, to first year players, the thing that I've walked away with some of my early analysis, I did a show with your former co-host, Chris Clegg on Prospect One, where we looked pre-draft at the top 10 first year player before the draft. We were so different, me and him. We were so ridiculously different. It kind of blew me away. And it made me think, man, you and I are going to be different. And James is going to be different. And we're going to have the craziest collection of dudes that we're not going to agree on. So what that does to me is that's going to create a ton of volatility. It's like if you have a James Anderson person in your draft, if you have a Eric Cross guy in your draft, like where we side might push. So who are the chalky players? There's some, you know, we're going to talk about it. I think like roughly there's five or six players that I think are like chalky, but then all of a sudden I think you're going to start getting like, well, I like this shortstop and I don't love any of the other guys. So I'm going to put, you know, Cason Cunningham at six or five or something like that. Like you're going to get that type of stuff. And what that tells me is without being able to have any prediction on the draft, and also thinking that so much of it is even leveled. And what I mean by that is like the college hitting does kind of suck. College pitching looks really nice, but how often do people want to invest in college pitching in fantasy? If you're in a points league, it's a different question. But I was saying, and sorry, I'm kind of rambling on here, but like we did these drafts last year. It was like, I couldn't convince you guys to draft Chase Burns or Hagen Smith. And I kept taking all the pitchers last year when we were doing that mock on RotoWire. So now you're getting a bunch more of these type of guys out there. Will people bite or will they not? So, and then you've got high school hitting, which obviously has so much potential upside, but there's so much inherent risk and it doesn't feed the proximity people. Yep. So I'm going to be probably more focused than I've ever been before on having more later value than I am the top end value. I like Ethan Holiday, just as a spoiler, is kind of like the top. But like if I don't have one of the top picks, like top picks, I'm not looking to acquire those. I think I would be better set than having the fourth pick in the draft. I might be better set having, call it 9, 13, and 16, just as a, you know, argumentative, just like throw out there. Like I think there, because of that volatility, there's going to be so much value that's thrown later. So I think it's going to be a really unpredictable class that's going to take some time. And for you people that draft right now or in the next month, Godspeed to you.
Good luck.
Good luck, man. But for us that are going to draft at the beginning of next year, who are going to get Bridge League the rest of this season, whoever goes to Complex, like that's where we're going to be able to make our decisive decisions. And I think we'll have a lot more, a bigger, better comfort level on what looks like the biggest, most chaotic grouping of players. Not to say that they're horrible or bad or anything like that. There might be better depth than we've had in a long time, especially for upside. But the consensus, I think, is just going to be wildly different with all of us.
Yeah, no, that's where I'm at too. I was kind of talking on, you know, the Bleacher Report live stream about this, but how the talent drop off from, like, you know, the guys that are like 5'6" to the guys that are like 15, 16 isn't that large. So if I was, I think you said it really well, you know, if I were able to get, you know, trade away like a top 5, 6 pick for, you know, a couple picks in the teens, I would strongly consider that, because you might be able to get one of your favorite guys down there, just because, like you mentioned, how wildly different I think evaluations are going to be this year. And I mean, even in my own rankings, say I went over, especially like the top 10 or so, I switched that up a lot, and I finally settled on the guy at number one. I don't feel like, I mean, I like this guy. I'm not like, you know, locked in, like this is the dude type of guy. Like I have been in, you know, with certain guys in years past, like Wyatt Langford, for instance, a couple years ago, but yeah, it's pretty wild. And the fact that there's not a lot of good collegiate bats. There's a few bats I like that I did slot kind of high.
I got some that I like that are in like the 20s though. Like
right,
in
exactly.
Or maybe late teens. Again, it's just going to be dependent. Like, I don't know if you're planning to do this. Do you think people might push some of those few college bats that we really like? Could those get shoved up because of proximity? That's going to change the whole scope of things. So that's why, like, I just don't know what people are going to do. And it's weird. Like I say right now, I'm like, oh man, Andrew Fisher, kind of dope, kind of like him. I personally really like Devin Taylor, who went to the A's. Those are a couple college hitters. Could they get, especially Fisher going to the Brewers, could he get pushed up into the first round or something like that? And then what does that inherently do? That pushes down more high school bats, which could be more value, especially depending which of the shortstops you really like. So it's crazy.
Yeah. No, it's going to be pretty wild. And I got a feeling, you know, usually we do like the mock draft, you know, right after the draft and then another one in the offseason. I think the difference between those two is going to be pretty wild. Just seeing once we, you know, see some of these guys getting a little bit of game action here, you know, at the complex or whatever, I think it's going to be a pretty stark shift within the next couple of months. But with that said, let's hop into our top 10. And we were saying before the show that I think we might be, maybe we are closer. I don't know. We'll see. I think this could be pretty wild. But Welsh, who are your top 10 right now for FYPD?
Okay. So you want me to just go through my full, just all 10?
Yeah, let's go through all 10. I'll give my 10, then we'll kind of just dissect them.
Perfect. That. All right, number one, I've already alluded to it. I've got Ethan Holiday. I did not move off of that. Clegg and I had talked about, like, he was going to change. It's crazy. You should go listen to the episode. But he was like, he didn't have Ethan Holiday in his top 10. And he was going to push Holiday in if he went to Colorado. Didn't matter to me. I was locked in. Ethan Holiday is number one. Iva Arquette, college bat, is number two. Trying to keep away from the pitchers just yet. Not that I absolutely love the landing spot. I just really like the player. I then got a couple pitchers. I've got Cade Anderson coming in at three. I absolutely love his destination going to Seattle. Seth Hernandez. This is the really tough part right here. Seth Hernandez, I put at four because I think he could legitimately be special. But that's where then it comes into five at Eli Willits. Eli Willits could be number one. I think I could justify him at number two at highest. I have a battle between Seth Hernandez and Willits. I really think Seth Hernandez just in the changeup and stuff is six. So Willits at five. And then six through 10, I've got Liam Doyle, JoJo Parker at seven, Jace Lavalette, who that could be the big difference that I have, Jamie Arnold, and then Xavier Nayans. That is my top 10. So there's some big names that didn't quite jump in there making it, but that's what makes this so difficult.
Oh, absolutely it does. But we have eight similar guys in the top 10.
Oh, we got some similarities here. All right.
Eight similar guys. There's one that we were one off of and one that we had the exact same number here. So for me, number one, I ended up settling on JoJo Parker at number one. Wow. I don't know. I went back and forth between him, Holiday, Willits. I mean, it's really tough just to pick between those three, but I wouldn't be, you know, opposed to having any one of those three at number one. I do have Holiday at number two. Eli Willits at number three. Here's when we match up on. I have Seth Hernandez at number four. And then I got a couple college bats, the two college bats I love in this draft. I have Ethan Conrad at five, went to the Cubs, and Ike Irish to Baltimore. I have him at six. I love both of those bats. And then I have Cade Anderson, seven, Jamie Arnold, eight, Iva Arquette, nine. And I also have Jace Lavalette in my top 10. Let's start with him, though, because I think he might be the most polarizing player in, especially in the top parts or the first round kind of drafts. He went to the Cleveland Guardians at pick 27. I mean, obviously huge, huge power, maybe the best power in the draft class or in that discussion. Good athlete too, for his size. And he's a bigger guy, given his big power, big frame, good speed, a little bit of a Spencer Jones vibes there. And also has some strikeout concerns, some contact concerns. So I think that's the reason why he's so polarizing now. But you don't seem to be too concerned with that, Welsh, as you know, you have him top 10 like I do.
Yeah. I mean, it's funny. Who loves Spencer Jones more than me? Like, that's name true. Somebody out there that loves Spencer Jones more than me.
That's so true.
You're not going to find him. So I'm a Spencer Jones guy. I'll take on some of the risk. What I thought was really funny is they're different players for the most part. But this mirrored like the Chase DeLauder stuff. Remember, DeLauder was this potential number one overall pick. What happened? Injuries. And then he fell. They jumped on it. Same kind of thing that's going on with Lavalette. Like, injuries took away a little bit of time. And then he fell. Cleveland jumped on it. He's a big body guy like DeLauder, 6'6", 230. His power's crazy. I'm obviously going to worry about the strikeouts. Like, no doubt about it. But like, I think that's why this is a process. Like, you got, give me an organization that can fix that. I actually think the Guardians are a great organization for this. This is kind of an atypical player outside of Noel. This isn't the most typical player that they would take, but, you know, can they rework a little bit of that swing? I think so. He has got tremendous power. To me, he was like a little baby Cags out there with some of those exit velocities. I have got, let me pull this up here. I thought I had it pulled up, but of course I did not. I'll give you some of the data because I've got some data here. His contact rates didn't fare super well, but he was over 50% on 95 plus EVs in college, which is great. You'd be surprised at this. Doesn't chase. He actually has the lowest of these first round college bats, the lowest chase rate of all of these guys, which might surprise you based on some of the strikeout issues. He had one of the best 90th percentile EVs, almost 108, which is pretty dang great. And he had the best pull rate of any of these guys, over 47% pull air rate. Those are some phenomenal numbers with insane, insane power. And that's why I'm jumping on the bandwagon with him. I think proximity kind of works in the favor. There's insane power. If he fixes some of the strikeouts, I mean, look at Spencer Jones right now. I know it's, he could just fall apart again and blah, 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 but like, he's going ballistic. I don't think there's as big of worries with a guy like Jace, because I think the chase rate is clearly just lower that he's going to tap in. And this is a guy that was seen as like a top, easy top five fantasy pick going into last year, and he fell off, and I just don't know where everybody's going to have him. I'm actually encouraged to hear that you've got him in the top 10. I had him higher a little, like about two months ago. I had him near the top five. I moved him a little bit down. The draft kind of spoke to about where I thought, and it doesn't match up to his draft capital to where I have him. But I think the power alone is something that I really, really want to bank on. And I feel like the Guardians can maybe fix a few of these issues. So I'm happy to hear you also have him in the top 10. I probably have him the highest of anybody at 8.
Yeah, I think you're going to see a pretty wide range of rankings on Lavalette. But I love that you brought up Caglione there, because, you know, it's like, I want to see what you think about this, because, you know, obviously they both have massive power. So let's kind of take that off the table and let's look at, you know, contact and chase. You know, Cags being more like, you know, there was the decent contact skills with the super high chase rate. Flip that, you know, contact issues for Lavalette, but a decent chase rate. Which one of those two profiles are you more willing to kind of buy into, the, you know, good contact but high chase, or lower chase but also some questionable contact issues?
So I think I lean a little bit more on that CAG side, the higher contact with the chase, even though this could work out. There's some stuff like I rattled off a bunch of like fun things that are out there. I would have liked to have seen, even though his 90th percentile EV was really high, his max EV was like 112. Like, quite a few people, Ike Irish had a better max EV. Ava Arquette had a better max EV. I like that he's not going to chase. I just like high contact. I like high contact rates. Yep. So the lower contact rate, chase rate just might take him a little bit longer, but there is pretty like raw power. So I would go on the side of CAGs, but I just think there's something in there. And I'm also trying to balance, like, we're not all like future play guys. Like, there's so much high school in here. There is a tiny advantage to maybe some of the college bats that can succeed. And I think Jace is one of those guys. Like, there's a handful of the guys I really like. I agree with you. I actually moved Ike Irish down a little bit, but like, he's a really interesting college bat. I like Jace. I like Iva. Like, those guys, those are the proximity plays. And there's only so many of those that are even worth moving way up on. So I just think he's a really intriguing fantasy option.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I feel like, you know, fast forward a year from now, it's like we're going to be talking about Lavalette as like, you know, top 10 to 20 prospect, or a guy that's just like not top 100. I feel like it's going to go one way or the other. But I do agree. I like the landing spot. I feel, you know, better than if he landed, you know, in several other organizations that don't have the best track record.
Yeah.
But Cleveland's got good, you know, again, you know, they like the, you know, usually like the different player, more of the, you know, the contact first, you know, toolsy, speedy dudes. That's usually what they go for. But yeah, definitely. If they can, you know, fix this and get him as their middle of the order dude, you know, in a couple of years, you know, that could be a really fun, you know, power there. So, yeah, Lavalette, if you want the upside, I mean, the upside, if you're ranking on just purely upside, it'd be top five for Lavalette, no question about it. So, yeah, he's definitely a polarizing one. And same thing with your number one. My number two, Ethan Holiday. I've seen a lot of, you know, varying kind of rankings and just thought processes on Holiday, because he's one of those, you know, bigger bodied shortstops, not a ton of speed, so you need the bat to really carry him. And obviously the power is massive. He's got, you know, more power upside than his brother. It's more like, you know, more like his dad kind of frame. And obviously landing in Colorado is just, you know, everyone loves that. But there are some contact concerns with Holiday too. So I guess, again, you're not overly concerned about, you know, did you have him one before he went to Colorado as well?
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I was saying in that pre-draft episode. I had him at number one. Like, sure. I've heard the stuff. I've heard that there are scouts that are concerned with to degrees about the hit tool in general. But, you know, I think he's a big bodied shortstop. I think it was DeRosa on the draft broadcast. It was kind of, I hadn't really thought about this. It was kind of comping him in like that Corey Seager range. Yeah. I think is funny as it is, like the bloodline, like I think what Matt Holiday is doing with these guys, working with these guys, the offseason work they do at their own facility, they're very data driven. I love that they're data driven. That I think, now here's the rub. If he was in a really good organization for development, they could fix a lot of those contact. That is not the Rockies. And that is my concern. But that's also comes back to my concern in general with the top end of all of this draft. Like, I'm just going to throw this out. You having JoJo Parker at one is a big leap. I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm not saying.
I know it is for sure. Yeah.
But guess what? Clegg had a completely different guy as well. We all had three different number ones, but that's kind of the point. It's like, they're all big risks. So what am I banking on? I'm banking on a high analytics player that hit 600 in high school. He's got some batting average issues, but he did hit 600 in high school. He's probably got some of the best, you know, highest prolific high school power. Xavier Nayans is probably in that argument. If you want to even throw in, you know, the college bats, like Luke Stevenson had some of the best data as far as like, you know, max EV and stuff like that. But, you know, Holiday, high school wise, one of the top power bats. Even if you jump it up into college, I think he's still in that range. He's a shortstop and he's in a great destination where, you know, it's going to mitigate potentially some of those problems. Now, if the, you know, we don't have like really good like chase data and against sliders and stuff, we don't have like readily available like we do in college. But, you know, I think I want to bank on what the Holidays have done in general, what, you know, he has done to this stage in his high school career. I think I want to bank on the power of 35 plus. I like the swing. I know some people think maybe it gets a little bit long, but I think, again, data driven guy who's working on, not just max, but getting like average, consistent hard hit contact with a family that is built around that. Listen, the negative is that this team is not going to probably do him a lot of favors, but, you know, maybe just throwing this out here, I was pretty critical of Charlie Condon, and Charlie Condon looked horrific when I saw him early on, and things have re-clicked. He'd always had some off-speed issues. Maybe there is something clicking in the organization where they're getting things going. I got to tell you, I saw him 3 months ago and Condon looked lost, and then he's found himself. He's hitting off-speed pitches. So beyond that, I just think he's a massively, massively talented player. He's going to be the face of this organization. I don't think they're going to shy away from moving him up. And if he does anything like his brother did, you know, he's going to move pretty rapidly through. So I think he's just the best bet in a class of no minus bet guys, if you know what I'm saying. There's no favorites. If you want a favorite, go take a college pitcher. You didn't list a college pitcher, I don't think, off in your top five. So you want a solid bet. Go get a college pitcher for what that is. These are all big risks. So what is your level of risk? JoJo Parker I don't think is best at any one of his tools, but might be one of the better combos of all of them. Eli Willits actually might even be, slightly above in some of those others outside of power. But Jackson Holiday is the big hit him number 3-4 bat who could drop 35 in Colorado. And if that hit tool doesn't take a big regression point, if he's even a 260 hitter, I just think sky's the limit in a draft where you're having to and being forced into drafting sky's the limit. Now, if you want to say, I don't love Holiday a bunch and you want to move off of the 1 or 2 pick and move down, that's all good too. Because if you can go and get JoJo Parker at 6 or 7, or you can wait later, you can get, I love Cason Cunningham. You know, you can play those bets, but if you're stuck in that and not getting good value, I think the bet is Ethan Holiday right now.
Yeah, that's a good point, because, you know, regardless of who we like at number one or whatever, I don't think any one of us are like, you got to go get this guy like at all costs. You know, as much as, you know, you might like Holiday, I might like, you know, Parker, or someone might like Willits. It's like, it's not like, oh, this guy could be a future superstar, you know, like go get like Roki Sasaki. Like, there's no number one without question guy in this draft. And yeah, I think Holiday, I definitely think, has the highest upside of all these three, especially if it's just, I mean, we've seen like 45 grade hit tool guys, even 40 grade hit tool guys hit like 260 at Coors. Obviously, the BABIP boost that that park gives, it kind of masks some hit tool concerns with certain players. But yeah, I went Parker number one because I thought you kind of alluded to a little bit that he kind of had the best blend of hit, you know, power and speed that I thought. I mean, I think this could be, you know, above average to plus hit, above average to plus power. You know, once he kind of grows into it more, and then, you know, solid runner as well, that can give you double digit steals, maybe 15 steals annually. So, I mean, it's not like a super sexy profile, but definitely, you know, a well-rounded offensive profile that I think you could be a solid five category guy. So that's kind of why I went Parker at number one. And you could say a lot of those same things about Willits. I think he's more of like the well-rounded profile. You know, they don't have, neither one of them have like that super elite tool. Holiday is the one that has the elite tool. It's the power. It could be, you mentioned 40 plus home runs, and definitely the bloodlines. You got to feel good about that. You know, whenever he's in the slump, the same thing I said about like Jackson Holiday last year, when he was kind of going through some rough patch, like, you know, he got a all-star, what was it? Seven-time all-star father to, you know, talk to, and also a brother that was, you know, one of the best players in his draft class too. So, you know, you got a lot of guys you can just, you know, shoot the shit with and talk hitting, and maybe they see something like, oh, you're doing this, or hey, you're doing that. Yeah, you know, that's two good guys to bounce it off of.
Yeah, and it could feel like a cop out type of thing, but like I do want to think, it's one of the things I love about like Max Clark. Like Max Clark, I think, is like one of the hardest workers in the minor leagues. He's a gym rat. He's also like high into discovering like, who am I about? What's, you know, what is my data? I want to know. And I think he's the same thing. And I think to know that, like, you know, in the off season, he's hanging with his brother, his dad, they're in their barn setup that they have where they've got, you know, all the TrackMan stuff and they're looking at data. If you have an organization that's lacking a tiny bit in maybe their development, or maybe they're not, but you've got a kid that has a major leaguer that he can go to, go work out with major leaguers, has all the data at home. Like you at least think that he has got the tools in front of himself to cover. And that's kind of what I'm getting at. Like, I think he can cover himself with the tools that are around. And I think his tools in general are just the ones I want to bet on. But I also, like, I'm not playing it safe with this pick. Like, I don't think it matters either way. Like, if I were to play it safe, it's Eli Willits. If I were to play it like safe with a hitter, and I know I'm saying I have Arquette at two, but like, if you want to play safe with the best upside, it's probably like Eli Willits. Maybe you push it to Ivar Arquette if you also want like proximity, but Willits has like that five tool ability. And that's something I got to think about as I stare at like Willits versus Arquette, but that it's just, it's an oddity there. And I'm just banking on Ethan Holiday right now.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speed Test. So MLB fans are connected from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, the most towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever. You can keep up with your teams on the road, overseas, even off the grid. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Based on analysis by Ookla Speed Test Intelligence Data, 1H2025 compatible device and plan required for T-Satellite. See details at T-Mobile.com.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply. Available in app only.
Yeah, no, that's totally fair. And you know, did you see the photo of the whole Holiday family? You know, and apparently there's another son who looks like he's 11-ish years old. You gotta find out what that kid's name is so you can get him on some top prospect rankings in the next 7-8 years of it. You know, these last two.
I don't even think sons. I realize there's another one of them.
Yeah, I'm assuming it was these, you know, all his kids. You know, it was him and his wife, and I looked at, it was Jackson and Ethan, and then I think they had a younger daughter who looked to be like 13, 14, and then a son who I'm just guessing is like 11 or so.
She probably maxes out 105 EV too, man. that family is crazy. Yeah.
You see the video, I think it was like last year, of the, you know, just the three of them just hitting, you know, tanks with metal bats, and even like Matt still just absolutely crushing. I'm like 450, 500 feet. I'm like, the dude could still swing, and he's got to be, Matt's probably what, pushing 50 at this point.
Oh, there's a lot of those guys. I remember like Junior Spivey, like 5 years ago, he was doing the, Dream Series, and I interviewed him, and I was just like, dude, you could still be out there. And he laughed about that, but you know, because he looked great. But you know, the other only other thing I want to throw out on this, and we move on to other players, is like the other thing to think about was Ethan Holiday was the guy in the discussion for this pick as well, but they wanted to cut a deal. And I think they wanted to not deal with Boris, as far as I've heard. And that Willits was the one guy that wasn't a Boris guy, but that they cut a deal to move off of this. So him not going one isn't necessarily say like that Ethan Holiday, that, oh, there's massive issues with his hit tool and stuff like that. The pitchers were always going 2 and 3. Like that was always the lockdown stuff. I think the Mariners were taking Seth Hernandez had Cade not fallen to him. So they were just gifted something and the Angels went their way. So I do think also think about like, you know, had Rizzo still been with this organization, Holiday might've been the number one overall pick. You know, that might have been the play. And I don't think it's a determination of his talent or anything going behind Eli Willits. But, you know, there is some safety. I think JoJo Parker and Eli Willits provide a little bit more safety with really great ceiling. And I think sky's the limit type of feel with Ethan Holiday.
Yeah, no, I 100% agree on that aspect. And yeah, that's a good point, though. Like, I don't think draft slot should matter. Like, don't even look at draft slot, in my opinion. Like, just because Lavalette was taken 27th, I don't care about that. You know, I'll rank a guy, and I probably have a guy in my top 20 that was taken in like the 60s or something like that. You know, I think it does play into people's thought process, but I don't think it really should, because obviously they're not drafting with a fantasy lens on like we are for FYPD. So yeah, definitely don't think that should really factor into the people's evaluation. But I threw up, I want to just reference a few polls real quick that I threw up from the Toolshed accounts. I threw up three of them earlier today. Which high school shortstop from the 2025 class will be the best for fantasy long term? Holiday was the winner at 51%. JoJo Parker 27%. Willett 16%. And then Billy Carlson, who I knew would, I just had to throw a fourth one on there. Carlson was down at 6%. Next, I went with who would be the best pitcher from the draft class. Cade Anderson has 38.5%. Seth Hernandez 32.5%. Liam Doyle 16.5%. Jamie Arnold 12.5%. And then the closest poll, which was the who would be the best collegiate bats, Ivar Arquette, 26.2%, Jace Lavalette, 26.5%, Ike Irish, 25.5%, Ethan Conrad, 21.8%. So that was a pretty darn close poll there. But we've been talking a lot of hitters so far. So let's go over to a couple of some pitchers here, because there's, you know, this is a pretty good draft class on pitching. And you know, you had Tyler Bremner going 2 overall to the Angels, which I think a lot of us could say was a little surprising. Then Cade Anderson went 3 to Seattle. You had Liam Doyle going 5 to St. Louis. Seth Hernandez 6 to Pittsburgh. Jamie Arnold 11 to the Athletics. And then Kyson Witherspoon was the last one, I think the top half of that first round, going 15 to the Red Sox. And then there was a pretty big drop off down to the 20s with, like, you know, Cruz, Schoolcraft, and Gage Wood and all of them down there in the mid 20s. But you know, we have all these collegiate arms and then the one high school arm, but I think the most exciting arm in this draft class is Seth Hernandez. And, you know, people have talked about him being, you know, the best on, you know, best high school arm that we've seen in the last several years. You're better than some of the other great ones that have come through. And, you know, I have him, we both have him at 4, you know, he's your second arm, my first arm. But I think Welsh, I think in terms of pure upside, you know, and especially in Pittsburgh, they're doing some good things there with their, you know, pitching development in Pittsburgh. So I'm okay with that landing spot. I know others kind of poo-pooed it, but I'm fine with it. But Seth Hernandez, man, like everything clicks with him. This is like the only guy that I'd say has true, maybe Cade, but the only guy where I'm like, man, if everything clicks, ace, you know, frontline, number one upside with Seth Hernandez.
Well, and just think too, it could be Paul Skeens, Bubba Chandler, Seth Hernandez, Jared Jones. I mean, it's disgusting. Yeah.
I tweeted that too. And then they throw like Hunter Barco or whoever at your five.
Yeah, I love Barco. That's Thomas scary. Harrington, Barco. Yeah, it's disgusting. They put themselves in a great spot. I mean, listen, from a stuff perspective, it's probably the nastiest. His changeup is wildly insane. I know Lance Brozdowski put this out, 65% miss rate this past year on that changeup. I think that was Lance, might've been college. Maybe I got that somewhere
pretty good.
Else.
Pretty good.
Yeah. Incredibly great on the changeup, mid 90s, really good shape. He's got like a real true 12 to 6 curve, and he's got a slide. I mean, it's phenomenal stuff.
Yeah.
But he's a high school pitcher, and that's the worry. And it's like, my God, with fantasy, that is the biggest bugaboo that we all have, is like investing in high school pitching. Look how long Mackenzie Gore took. This last class, you know, Cam Caminiti and Ryan Sloan. Like, Ryan Sloan was great to start and things kind of taper down. Like, his values are still up, but there's just this worry that floats out there. So, I mean, I think having him both at four is telling of the valuation of his talent here. But you have to understand the risk, because, like, yeah, if all intents and purposes, if all the things work out, he can be the number one guy on this list. He has a legitimate frontline starter stuff. He's like just a bulldog, a power pitcher. That funny video, I thought it was hilarious, where he was talking with Jared Carabas and he was like, yeah, people said I look like Josh Beckett, and I had to look him up. And I was like, Jesus, dude, like, how young are you? Like, you don't know Josh Beckett. Like, but he was like, yeah, I kind of do. Like, strong lower half, pounds the zone, great stuff. I'm just worried about the high school pitching side, but I feel like I bake that in. But also, don't be shocked if somebody has him down in the 7, 8, 9s because he's a high school pitcher. Yep. So I'm cool with you having him at number one. I think, honestly, I might have had him at number one, and we can do this after, but like, I think the landing spot, it's just critical for Cade Anderson. It's so insane how that ended up happening. And that was the differentiating factor for me. For Cade Anderson to go to Seattle is next worldly. Like, this guy already had great stuff, but now you go to an organ pitching you in in the major leagues. Like, it is a phenomenal destination for a proximity guy that will be up soon, where I could have Cade Anderson up next year, and Seth, we're probably gonna have to wait a couple years on. And frankly, if you do want to pick on the Pirates a little bit, you can look at, they can't get wins for Paul Skenes. Jared Jones blows out his arm. Bubba Chandler has been inconsistent all year. So as much as like data-driven and everything that they've been, and they've retooled and everything like that, it hasn't exactly been like this really, really smooth process. Like, we would have thought at this time we would have Bubba and we'd have Jared Jones and we would have Paul Skenes lighten it up. And it's like, those guys have what, like 4 wins combined between all of them? I don't even remember if Jared Jones had any wins. So I think destination kind of throws a question in. And that's also why when I said my top five, I said it's really tough for me 4 or 5, because I could see myself putting Eli Willits over Seth Hernandez. But I just do hate the possibility of missing out on like what legitimately could be the number one pitching prospect in the game, like within a year.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And especially when we talk about the landing spot for Anderson, how obviously it became a great landing spot, especially when you consider that he was probably going to go number two to the Angels.
Oh, who dodged a freaking bullet, dude.
Right? Like, dude, that's why. I like Tyler Bremner. He's, you know, in the teens for me, but I did not like that landing spot. I don't have any faith in their development and them, you know, pushing at the right level. Obviously, they had Ryan Johnson just completely jump. Now he's back in double A, obviously, but, you know, I don't have any confidence with really anything the Angels do. So,
no, I legitimately think that the reason, because people are like, why did they do this? They associated and felt that Bremner was the guy that was ready from day one. They don't have to develop, because, you know, Bremner a lot had talked about maybe the college version of Seth Hernandez, plus changeup, plus fastball. He's got the slide, you know, like, he's got the stuff to go in right now. And maybe there's a little less coaching they need to do. You could argue Cade Anderson maybe needs a little bit more babying with the innings. You could talk maybe about the fastball and the success of the fastball, you know, decent shape, but it's not like the biggest otherworldly pitch. Liam Doyle, I thought, was always going to go there. Best fastball in the class. Maybe they just didn't like the secondary as a splitter enough. So I think the argument is like that, development wise or not, they just thought Bremner's the guy, that he's going to be up there. And it's like, dude, I'm going to be doing a CBS hit in like an hour and a half, like when we're done with this. And my biggest winner is going to be Cade Anderson from this draft, because Cade Anderson, not only, you know, Washington, whether it's a plus or minus, whatever you want to say, but dodged a bullet by not going to the Angels and then going to the best pitching organization I can think of, with incredibly smart pitchers that can work with him, and an organization that'll help develop, maybe help the shape of the fastball. Like, it's the makings of Cade Anderson being like a huge, huge pitcher. So I'm taking that little extra side with Cade over Seth Hernandez, but they're super close. And this, again, this is the draft. If you want pitching, it's like, it's right full of really great pitching.
Yeah. And again, this is a draft where I would love to be like that 6 to 10 range. So I can probably get, like you said, you know, maybe, you know, JoJo Parker's still available there. Maybe, you know, a Eli Willits, not probably not Eli Willits, but, you know, maybe you get a, you know, Seth Hernandez down there. Like, you probably get a guy that you really like down there that you might have ranked top five. Like, I could easily see Parker's ADP for, you know, FYPDs being like six ish.
For you, like, I think in some order, things are going to, like, they're going to even out. That sure, the top three is like a Holiday, Willits, Cade Anderson. I think, honestly, I truly think that's what it's going to end up looking like in some capacity. So to think that at five, you could get either Seth Hernandez or JoJo Parker for you has got to be the best thing in the world. Or four, if you just want to, you know, manifest destiny, if you want to own it, you just take four. But four or five is a spot where, you know, people are listening and you're a cross guy, like, if you want to invest in Seth or JoJo Parker, you legitimately at four or five have that shot. And that's why understanding, you know, your draft, the people you draft around, what the ranks look like is going to be really key to how you can manipulate the draft. But I just truly kind of think that Holiday, Willits, Anderson, they're going to kind of own that top three in some relative order when things average out. And, you know, like I said, maybe I'll be wrong. Maybe JoJo Parker is going to jump up a little bit more, maybe Seth, but that's why that top five is, it's probably going to be chalky around, you know, at least maybe not JoJo Parker. Maybe he will, but like once it opens up, when Seth is gone as well at five, it's like Iva, JoJo Parker. Those are going to be the guys.
Yeah, no, I can absolutely see that. Before we get out of the top 10 though, where do you think, you know, we'll just go with the number one. Where do you think your number one here, Ethan Holiday, will slot into your overall prospect rankings? You think you top 10, top 20? What are you thinking?
Yeah, I'll tell you, I've actually done it. So it's a cheap plug to me. People are listening on Tuesday. This should be out, but my prospect list on my Patreon at InThisLeague.com, my top 500, that's what I've been working on. So I've got, I think 70 something graded, and I had put relative ranges. And as soon as they started getting drafted, I started locking them down. Now, things might move around a little bit, but I do have everybody placed in. As of right this moment, except I'm not looking at graduations, Ethan Holiday is not a top 25 prospect, but he will be, because I think I've got two. Actually, you know what? I think I have to take Mayer off there. So then he would be 26. And I think CAG. So you know what? He's right at 25. Once those two are off, I think I'm right at 25 with him. So no, not top 10. No, not top 20 at this point for my first guy.
Yeah, I'm kind of thinking, I'm still kind of playing with it. I was thinking 25 to 30 range, because, you know, I'm looking at guys that I have, you know, like look at like the back end of my top 20. It's guys like, I have JJ Weatherhall, Eduardo Quintero, Josue Briseño, you know, Bizana's 21 for me, Painter. So like, I don't want to put my number one or any of these guys in this draft class above them. But when you get down to like the late 30s, which is where you're getting into like Mike Sirota, Bryce Eldridge, you know, Carson Williams, guys like that. That's kind of where I feel like they're going to slide in for now. And obviously they'll probably slide up, you know, as we get closer to the end of the season and we start seeing some of these guys in game action. So, yeah.
And I will be, you know me, I'm thankful that Ethan Holiday is Colorado Rocky, because that means the Bridge League is about to start up in August. That is it's essentially instructional league, non-sanctioned games where none of you guys are going to get box scores, but there are full games and all the high school guys will be here. I will be out there. I'm going to track first game I know Ethan Holiday is playing. I will be out there to try to watch and try to get as much information, because, you know, we know that there's a lot of volatility in this. And there's plenty of guys I'm not going to be able to see. I'm not going to be able to see Eli Willits in person. But, like, I'm legitimately going to get Ethan Holiday. Cade Anderson might be hanging around. I wish I could get JoJo Parker. But Lavalette might be out there. Kaysen Cunningham, Gavin Fiennes, Steele Hall, like all those guys are going to be out here. Maybe Ethan Conrad. So I can hopefully get some information on that. But yeah, these guys are going to be out there and it'll probably change some of this. And that might, you know, the top 25 has still some room to grow. There's plenty of graduations in there. But yeah, I think my general range is like he's around Braden Montgomery, Farmelo, DePaula, Montes. Like he's in that kind of vicinity is where I've got Holiday.
Yeah, I kind of think we're pretty similar in that thought process right there. So we've already talked about a few guys who have had their, you know, landing spot kind of influence their value a little bit, or, you know, spots we liked or didn't like. Any other spots just, you know, within the first round or, you know, first couple of rounds, Welsh, where you were like, oh man, I love that, or don't like that so much?
Okay, so we're opening up just a real draft, like any destination picks I liked?
Yeah.
Okay. Your guys are going to scream homer, but Cason Cunningham, I freaking love. I liked him before the draft, and him going to the Diamondbacks just makes me just so excited. I think they're going to do really well with him. It's nice to finally not have an outfielder. They love their short guys though, but
yeah, they do.
they've really moved into like more data driven stuff. I remember I talked to Corbin Carroll about this a couple years ago, and Cason Cunningham, maybe it's not so much like the destination that it's like I'm in love with that. It is. I'm just so happy he's a Diamondback, but I really love Cason Cunningham and the Diamondbacks. It's a great fit. I think Andrew Fisher with the Brewers was just made to be. I think that one was made to be. As you can tell, I have him at 10. I love Xavier Nayans, and I love him being in Houston. Hopefully they don't lie about, you know, any more injury history stuff. But I think just from a ballpark perspective, that's going to bode really well for him. As far as the other first rounders, let me look in the compensatory if there's anything else that I liked. I will tell you this just in a general statement. I cannot believe what the Orioles pulled off. I just want to say that. Yeah. The Orioles had the nuttiest first couple round draft. They got four guys that were all mocked as first rounders in their first four picks. So hat tip to them for also doing that trade. They got Ike Irish at 19. Love it. Great destination. You know, ballpark fits well for him. Caden Bodine, who's, you know, is fine. Catcher, a good hit tool. They got Aloy, Golden Spikes winner out of Arkansas, who's got huge power. And they got Slater DeBrun, who has a very Slade Caldwell type look. Really speedy left-hander, is going to be a doubles monster. Like, these are all really good fantasy options from Aloy, Brun, and Irish, I think. So I was massively impressed with what the Orioles did, if you're talking about like that full thing. But yeah, I mean, I think, you know, Cade Anderson, Cason Cunningham, those really, really stood out as far as like destinations and locked in. And, you know, the first round stuff I loved. I don't know if I have any other, we'll probably talk about them, but yeah, Nayans, Cunningham, and Cade Anderson, probably my absolute favorite destinations.
Yeah. Speaking on Baltimore for a second, you know, with them drafting Irish, who, you know, was, I think is more so a corner outfielder, which is where he played more so last year, but then also Cade and Bodine. So two guys that, you know, Bodine's a better lock to stay at catcher. I think that signals, all right, Basayo has zero shot. Even if you thought he had some shot at sticking a catcher, I think he has zero shot now.
Dude's a first baseman. I mean, if he had a shot at being a catcher, he'd have been brought up when one of the 700 catchers that got hurt in front of him.
Yep.
He is clearly going to be a first baseman. I legitimately wouldn't be shocked if he didn't get called up all season and comes and plays first base in the AFL at this point. Because I completely agree with you. This draft told us dude ain't never going to be a catcher.
Nope. Absolutely not. But I also, I like the landing spot for Ike Irish, who, you know, I have in my top 10, just because, you know, they list him as a catcher. Again, I don't think so. I think he's more, you know, right fielder. You know, he's got has the bat to profile out there. So that's why I kind of bumped him up when I was, you know, kind of digging more into Ike Irish, when I was like, all right, when I thought he was going to be a catcher, I had more in the 12 to 14 range. And I'm like, all right, if he's going to be a corner outfielder, not to deal with that, you know, the rigors of catching, I like just the bat a lot more than, you know, ranking them 12 to 14. So that's why I bumped him up. But so I like that landing spot a good bit. You know, obviously, you know, Cade Anderson, I like Seth Hernandez's spot. I like, you know, wasn't a lot of spots that I hated. I think Kyson Witherspoon to the Red Sox is fun. There's a lot of upside there. And, you know, Boston's done a lot of good with pitching development, especially this year, all the breakout arms, Tolley, Clark, et cetera. So I think that's a pretty solid landing spot. You know, I agree. Andrew Fisher, I like that spot as well. That kind of fit really well. And he kind of gives me some like Rhys Hoskins vibes, like high OBP guy, good power.
Yeah. Really like that great bat speed. You know, one other I'll throw out. He's a guy that I had ranked really high. I had these two guys really high. Quentin Young, I didn't like. I'm indifferent about his landing spot. I just, you know, I loved him. But man, Devin Taylor, I really liked. He just kind of does everything. He's more of a hit over defensive guy in college. And he went to the A's. And it's like, if he gets up soon and you're hitting in that Sacramento and that baby ballpark for a couple years, that really might benefit. Now, by the time he's up, it might be Vegas. But, you know, if they are there for a couple more years, if you want to talk about landing spots, you know, we've seen a lot of those A's players, even though there's been some ups and downs, we've just seen like high barrel, high hard hit, you know, with whatever training that's been, you know, Lawrence Butler, Tyler Soderstrom, that you take a guy with like a really, really good hit tool of just power, not striking out a bunch. Like Devin Taylor is just this quietly solid dude that I'm definitely going to be targeting in like the second round of first year players if you're in a 15 team. And I kind of like that destination with the A's.
Yeah, no, I do as well. Where do you have him ranked? I have Taylor ranked 27 right now.
Let's take a look. I have him, let me look at my first year board. I have Taylor at 23 right now.
Pretty close.
Yeah, so we're relatively close.
Yeah, I think that was a good spot for Devin Taylor. Really fun player there for sure. You know, so who are some players? I mean, we've kind of already talked about this a little bit, but who are some players that you think, you know, right now we just kind of think we're higher on them. We don't really know a lot of people's rankings so far, but who are some guys that you think you're going to be higher on or lower on them than most?
Okay. So with the high, I think Lavalette, I think that's one. I think Xavier Nayans, I think I'm going to be higher on. You know, I want to say Kasun Cunningham, but we got to get James in here first because I feel like James is going to be like, he's my number
James
three.
Likes those Arizona guys too. I mean, high on Walshman, right? You were super high on Caldwell last year.
Yep.
And he was super high on Walshman.
Yeah. Yeah. And I don't know if either one of us are winning. I might be winning that a little bit on Slade. Slade's having
they've both been pretty good.
Yeah. Walshman's tapered back a little bit, but yeah, 100%. Okay. So let's not let me claim Kasun. I've got Nayans and Lavalette. Quentin Young, I think I'm going to be one of the higher ones on. I've got him in the 20s. And I'll throw just one more. Ryan Mitchell, who went to the Cardinals as an outfielder. I really, really like Ryan Mitchell. Another one of those just like really interesting hit tools. Great eye, takes walks, smooth swing, you know, 60 grade hit with solid power. Those are four guys that I think I'm going to be higher on. The guys that I think I'll be lower on, maybe Brimner. I don't have Brimner in my top 10. Proximity might push him up. So let's just throw Brimner in there. Maybe even Jamie Arnold, frankly, but probably not. Brimner. I think I'm going to be lower on a few of the high school shortstop. I think that's going to be the big thing. Billy Carlson, I have pretty low.
Yes, and I think that's what I was going to name too. I like him. I don't love him.
Yeah, and he went 10, and he's a high school shortstop, and people are going to lose their minds. I think there's bigger questions with the hit tool. I've got him down at like 19, and I think that'll be people will be like, what the hell? I'm a little bit like I've got Hall, Pearson, Carlson in the late 20s, and I think that might be lower than a decent amount. But let's give me Carlson. So Brimner, Carlson. Trying to look here. I don't Brennan Summerhill. I don't know where other people are at on him. I saw some high ranks of him. I don't have him. I think I have him at 30 and I might lower him. Just no power projection. Summerhill. And then the catchers like Caden Bodine, Luke Stevenson. I don't have inside the top 30. So those are like my guesses of who I'm lower and higher on.
Yeah, I don't have. I have Stevenson and Bodine actually pretty close. I have them right around 40 each there. So I don't usually rank catchers super high in FYPD. But you know, for me, I'll start with the players I think I'm lower on. Yeah, definitely. I have Carlson 15. So I think you have him a little bit lower than I do. But yeah, I think he's probably going to have like a back end top 10, you know, ADP for FYPDs or somewhere in that 10 range. I'm not that high on him. Yeah, I think I'm a bit lower. I have Steele Hall pretty low too. I have Steele Hall at 28. Who went to Cincinnati at, was that pick 9, I believe it was. I think there's not like a ton of other guys that like stand out to me that I'm like super low on.
You know, let me throw it to you like this. There are some interesting younger players that I think we're going to have some people that are going to go hard in the paint on, and I'm not 100% sure yet. Like I did a live stream and someone brought up Brady Ebel and I was like, you know, like, where do you have him at? And some people are like, you know, he's top 10. I'm like, I don't have him inside my top 30 right now. So like, I'm open to the possibility that a couple of these super exciting late guys, like, or if you want to call them exciting, like Ebel, maybe Coy James who went, like, I could see, Clegg had brought out, who was it? Josh Owens, who got drafted as a two-way player for the Rangers. Those are a couple guys that I think maybe I might inherently, I don't know about you, maybe we might inherently be lower on if people decide to just be like, this class is weird and just go crazy high on. I'm not sure where you have any of those guys.
So I have Owens at 37.
Okay, we're in a row. All right, so we're close-ish. I'm lower, but okay.
I have Brady Ebel. I have at actually 63. That might be way too low on
Brady. Okay, Ebel, so that's one of your guys. You're way low on Ebel. I got him in the 40s.
Okay, yeah, maybe that's too low. But yeah, I'm not like super high on him. But who's some other names here that I'm? Yeah, I'm probably lower on Tate Southsien. I'm not like super high on him. I have him in the 45 range. Daniel Pierce, you know, he went in the teens, Tampa Bay. I have him at 42. I'm not like super high on him from like a fantasy perspective. I think he'll be a good real life player, but which obviously is what Tampa Bay cares about, but not super high there. But guys, I am high on. Actually, Quinton Young, I have 23 overall. I love Quinton Young. A good
baby. I got him at 21.
So Quinton Young, definitely. I love Quinton Young. I love Ethan Conrad. I have him at 5. You know, I think, you know, I think the talent's there. I think it was good contact, good approach, you know, big power, solid speed as well. But, you know, he only played like, I think, 16, 17 games this year after transferring to Wake Forest. So that, the durability absolutely is a question there. So, but hopefully he can stay healthy. I mean, maybe this is just me going down the Chase the Lauder road all over again. That very well could be the case. But Ike Irish, I have at 6. Obviously, I think I'm higher on, no, I think people have him maybe top 10, but I have him at 6 overall. I got Andrew Fisher at 14. I love Andrew Fisher. I think he's a B. Like I mentioned, that good OBP, good power type. Let's see who else I'm pretty high on. I mean, I don't know if I'm like, you know, the highest in like a Cruz Schoolcraft, but I do like that landing spot. You know, obviously, a lot of arm talent getting into San Diego that usually, you know, plans pretty well. So that's another guy I like a good bit here. I have Taylor at 27. Like, Nolan Schubart's another guy I think I might rank higher than most. I have him, I'm not like super high, but I have him at 34. I think that's a solid power bat there. So some of those names I like a good bit here, but I'm sure we'll get more looks at these guys and change, you know, our rankings, both you and I and everyone else that does it. We'll have a look a lot different here, you know, in the next,
there's a lot of room for it to still look a lot different. Yeah. I mean, you know, like the only people that should really like care at this point are the guys that are drafting now, but just know there's volatility from time. And it goes in waves too, because look at like when we were done drafting last year, everyone was Condon and I was Bizana. Then I was like, look at me, I'm celebrating Bizana. Now Bizana is like nothing to most people. And Cags is in the majors, you know, about to graduate. And, you know, Condon just was in the futures game. So like, it's just cyclical. It goes in these cycles that you've got to try to figure out. And this year, it's so much more scary because it's a bunch of high school dudes that no one is going to really see stats on. Maybe you get them to low A at some point with a handful of college guys. And it also leads the possibility that guys like specifically like Fisher and Iva, like if they kind of ball out a little bit, even in low A, people might just be like, oh my gosh, look at him. You know, the sight out of sight, out of mind, like Bazana's getting right now. No one hears anything about some of these dudes. They're going to, I mean, look at Tyson Lewis. Like Tyson Lewis is a freaking dude, but last year you didn't see anything until he was in complex this year. Unless, you know, like I was talking about him and he guys hitting 330 and he can't get out of rookie ball right now, you know? So like it's a weird process for a lot of these guys. The highs and lows are going to change, you know, ultimately like I'll be low on a guy and I might that end up being higher than you and vice versa and lower. Like Ethan Conrad's another player. I think I might be the low on you and Clegg are kind of together really high on Ethan Conrad, or I'm just like really low on him. So it's maybe somewhere in between.
Yeah, no, but and last year, I guess, we were all debating Condon or Bazana, and they could both turn out to be good players, you know, down the road. But I guess the correct answer at the time would should have been Nick Kurtz or Jack Caglione.
Yeah, Jack Caglione.
Especially Nick Kurtz, man. Like, he had 17 home runs his last 36 games or whatever it is. Crazy stuff. But that's how quickly these things can change, and that's why we love it so much. But I think it's going to wrap us up. Welsh, anything you want to plug before we get out of here?
Yeah, man. You guys just, like I said, you want to check out my list, go to InThisLeague.com. That's just my Patreon. I appreciate the support. Anyone that does top 500 prospects, which will have all the drafted guys on there with a separate tab. Also, my dynasty list will be updated, but it'll also have the tab of first year player if you want to peruse that. That should be in the next 24 hours as well. I'll probably have a Prospect One podcast coming out. So if that's your bag, Also, a Fantasy Pros, we're going to be doing a video on the draft and a first-year player. Me and Joe Pizzapia, if you want to check that out. And then, yeah, you know, just follow my Twitter. Is it the Welsh? I'm doing some CBS hits. I'm just doing lots of different stuff. I think I'm going to be on Fantasy Baseball Today with Frankie Stamps for Tuesday or Wednesday episodes. So like I said, just keep tuned if you care. And I'm excited to keep doing this. And then Wednesday, you and I get to start. We get to draft. We get to put some of this chaos. I mean, it's like, we already know the draft order. Like, we all legitimately might get our number one overall picks through the first four picks.
Right.
We legitimately, it might happen.
Yep. I'm happy with that. But yeah, that's gonna be a lot of fun. You know, me, you, Clegg, James Anderson, you know, the Fab Four doing what we usually do with the mock draft on RotoWire right after the MLB draft. But obviously, everyone listening, you know, if you're not already, obviously follow Welsh, one of the best dudes in the business, one of the hardest working guys in the business. Follow all his stuff and on Twitter at IsItTheWelsh. Obviously, you can follow me at Eric Ross MLB, and I'll be back with you again next week. But until then, everyone take care.
If you work as a manufacturing facilities engineer, installing a new piece of equipment can be as complex as the machinery itself. From prep work to alignment and testing, it's your team's job to put it all together. That's why it's good to have Grainger on your side. With industrial-grade products and next-day delivery, Grainger helps ensure you have everything you need close at hand through every step of the installation. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.